I want to share with you just a couple of Ash Wednesday reflections. They've changed since the noon mass because things have been happening today. God has been at work. I received a message yesterday that to anoint somebody. It said, no hurry, not urgent, somebody in a care home here. So I'd been at Blanchette hearing confessions, so I thought I'll come tomorrow. It was dinner time. And anyway, it was a mixed message. This man was on his deathbed, but he was still alive. And he was 94. Somebody had given him ashes this morning, but not the anointing, which only a priest can do. And I did anoint him, and we prayed for him as I heard the death rattle with the ashes. It was very moving, you know. It brought home to me, I think I came away thanking God for the gift of life and the gift of the priesthood, and the gift of being present to that family who had been waiting anxiously for me to show up because of the mixed message. And God took care of it. It was good timing. And that's part of what Ash Wednesday is about, is a reminder of mortality, which our world does its best to hide. Another interesting experience today, in between doing things, I always check my email briefly to see if there's anything important there for the parish. And somebody had started this Facebook group from my former employer, American Airlines. And I worked in a place, of course, the company had, how many employees? 30,000 employees. Well, people have been joining this group for the last week, and I've been following with great interest and catching up and seeing faces and names I haven't seen in decades. But today was very interesting because somebody had started a page of those who had died, and it came in before I came in here, and I added four names that I knew of that I'd worked with that had passed on. Some were quite young when they died, and some were older. One had been murdered. And these are things that we all knew, and we shared this, and people were very moved. They thought, where's the time gone? I remember working with this person, and they did not know the person had died, you know. Again, it is an Ash Wednesday reflection. Any of you could experience the same thing if you've lived for any length of time. We don't always know. These groups will be reunited in the next world. I think we'll all enjoy it very much, but it does remind us of what we are here about. We rejoice at another year of life, and we pray that God will help us to appreciate the gift of time. The gift of time is a very precious thing, and Ash Wednesday is a reminder that our time on earth is limited. As we reach the end of life, it is time that is the most precious, and missed opportunities that we regret the most. Lent is just a fabulous opportunity. I haven't taken advantage of them all myself the way I should. And it really is something that we should sit down and ask God what is so critical that that we need to do. The other aspect, of course, is conversion. And conversion is a little harder for us to grasp. I think we all know the sins that we need to work on, and that's a big part of Lent. That's the best fast, of course, is fasting from sin. The story I told at noon was that, when I first moved here, the rectory had no plants around it at all. As far as I could see, there was just a couple of straggly-looking things, and somebody just put that white fence there before I got here. So I got busy landscaping over there because I enjoy that sort of thing. And a lot of plants started coming in once they heard I was doing this. And before long, I had like 8 hoses coming off the pump, there's a pump on the rectory property there to save money. I had all these hoses going everywhere. Some of you may remember this. And somebody took pity on me hauling hoses around all summer long and donated a sprinkler system to the rectory. And along with that, a drip system for the pots, you know. And I have I have a pot garden, not the kind you'd... Well, it's good if we want a high mass, you know. That my former parish was so, the weather was so depressing that, and the only backyard I had was a small cement courtyard. I began to put pots in there, and I made them, it was supposed to be a gift for the next pastor, but who's a friend of mine, but he wanted bare cement, so they all came up here, and I've had them ever since. But when I went on the sabbatical last summer, you know, one of the things we have there now that was donated was a drip system. And the couple that donated was at the noon mass, and I thanked them for a good story. But I've had that now for like 5 years. And when I went away, I very carefully made sure every pot had a drip. I didn't have to ask anybody to help me and so on. But one thing I neglected to check was that every hose was connected to the main line. And one of them had been pulled out. And even though I thought I had all the bases covered, that plant died. When I come home, it was dead. And another one, somebody had tripped or pulled one out. Nobody checked. That plant also died. So I had a lot that lived and a couple that died. This, I think, is a metaphor also that we should consider during Lent, and that is that if life, in a sense, my heart is like a big pot garden, and we are, in fact, a garden that God wants to cultivate, but if I'm not fertilizing, if I'm not pruning, this is the pruning season right now for many plants, if I'm not watering, especially in the summer when it gets very hot, my plants are going to start to wither and they might even die. So is there an area of my life that is not being adequately watered? Has the drip come off somehow? Have we stopped watering? You know, God periodically will take the water away. He will give us a period of drought, and plants need that so that their roots will grow deeper. I often in my life have made the mistake of watering too much, and the roots stay shallow, and then when the dry times come, they can't survive. They need to be forced to look for deeper water. So if you're in a dry and very painful part of your life, perhaps God is asking and encouraging your roots to go deeper. But we sometimes, when things start to wither, it's because we haven't been watering properly. We haven't been praying properly. Jesus gives us this architecture both for Lent and for the whole spiritual life. He says, when you give alms, this is not an option for a Christian. He's talking about money, but he's also talking about time, the kindness that I show to others. What do I give of myself? You know, by the time I'm 94 and Father goes to anoint you, it is too late. You know, if I'm on my deathbed like this man was today, now is the time. You know, that's what the second reading said. Today is the acceptable day. When you give alms, when I give alms, I'm watered back. I get twice as much as I give. Whenever I give of myself without expecting a reward or an acknowledgement, I get at least twice as much back, sometimes 100-fold. It takes a little faith to believe that sometimes, but it never fails. And then he says, when you pray, I know we're all in different places, where most of us are not monks and nuns and so on, but we all have to pray. If I'm not speaking to God, I'm dying. I'm beginning to wither. And yet God calls us to go to our inner room and pray where no one, not even our spouse, can hear me. This is between me and God, very personal. It is that moment of intimacy between the Creator and the child of God that we are. This is what, if I've neglected this, we get back to basics, you see. Lent is really about basics. Everything can fit into these categories. When you fast, the best fast is to fast from sin. What is the area where I have the gravest disorder? I am spending too much time in media. Maybe I need to cut back a little bit. Maybe I need to give up a form of media. I've done that for years, one form or another. Things get out of balance, you know. God expects us to fast from something. If I only fast from things I don't like or want to get rid of anyway, what is the sacrifice in that? Because God is going to turn around after Lent and ask something of you that you're not going to want to give up, and you're going to have to. And if we haven't been voluntarily fasting when the real thing comes along, we're not going to have the strength to survive it. So this is something we can neglect Lent and just let it ride, but it's going to come to you involuntarily later. So this is the time when God calls us to these things. And the Lord makes it very clear that he is going to repay us. Every time we've done something without seeking a reward, he is watching. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from God. So we learn a lot here from this gospel. And tonight, It's a haunting day, I think, for many of us. We're compelled to Ash Wednesday. I think there's a truth here that our society does not want to acknowledge. But the mortality that we look at is not depressing. It means that we're children of God, and we know where God is calling us. We know that we have something waiting for us, and we're preparing for that. Life is a preparation for the world that will never end, and this is a good thing. It's good to reflect on that. So God has given us many gifts, I think, this evening. And tonight, as we receive our own ashes, we reflect on what is the project that you and God will be doing together over these next 40 days.